welcome to a special edition, extra bonus episode, or edition as I like to call them, of the Basketball Fiends podcast. This is an NBA trade deadline special. I'm joined by my co-host, as always, Alex Aguilera. My name is Jesus Acevedo Jr., and this is the Basketball Fiends podcast, a proud member of the RS Kina Podcast Network. And Alex, the NBA trade deadline, there is no league in the world, I would say, that kind of has this pool of fandom as the NBA trade deadline, and so many deals happen. I love NBA trade deadline.
Oh yeah, man, it's so fun. Just the drama, all the whispers, you know, rumors leading up to it. And then once the day comes, you got, boom, you got this trade. And once you're trying to figure out all the details for this one trade, all of a sudden, boom, another trade goes down. So it's an exciting time for sure.
It's what I like interesting is the trades that come out of nowhere, like names that weren't even linked together before, maybe an hour before the NBA trade deadline, which for today it was 2 p.m. Central Time. So that's what I find interesting. Now, what I also find interesting is the trades that get made, not that the trades get made, but the trades that get finally announced that are announced after the deadline, after that 2 p.m. Central. Like, for example, today's NBA, this season NBA's trade deadline finished at 2 p.m. Central Time. And there were still some trades that came in trickling afterwards. Some pretty big trades, Alex. The biggest one, Victor Oladipo goes from the Houston Rockets to the Miami Heat, Alex.
Yeah, man, it's definitely a big trade. Oladipo alone, that's a huge name. And so some of the details involved with that trade is Avery Bradley and Kelly Olynyk, along with a 2022 first-round swap rights, are headed to the Houston Rockets. So it's a big deal, man. I think, you know, Miami, obviously they got Oladipo, but with Houston, they got a nice little package with Bradley, Olynyk, and a first-round swap. But I also think, too, Miami kind of got a little steal not having to give up, you know, Tyler Hero or Duncan Robinson, because I know those were names that were swirling around where it was like, okay, they may need to give up those guys if they want to get Oladipo. And, you know, they were able to get their guys. So, you know, it's a big deal for sure.
Yeah, it's definitely a big deal. You know, it's a trade that many people saw coming. Oladipo's name have been mentioned when, you know, many different teams. The Heat were one of the most prominent ones. And it had been rumored that Oladipo, he himself, wanted to find himself in Miami in the offseason. And he is a free agent at the end of the season as well. But I believe the Miami will now hold his bird rights so they can offer him the most money. So Oladipo is going to help the Heat tremendously. They didn't have to give up any of their assets, like you said. So what they did send was two expiring contracts. So I like Avery Bradley and I like Kelly, I'm going to butcher his name, Olynyk. I like them as players, but they are on expiring contracts. And I have a feeling that we won't see them here next season. Unless, you know, Houston just likes what they see in them and maybe keeps one or two. I think of the two, they might be more inclined to keep Kelly. He might fit more better into the system that Steven Silas wants to run. But yeah, Oladipo is going to be a tremendous help to the Miami Heat. Now, one of the deals that happened that I don't think these names and teams have been linked is your hometown Chicago Bulls, Alex. They got Nikola Vucevic from the Orlando Magic. How did that transpire, Alex?
Okay, so, well, for me, I was laying in bed just on my phone like, oh, okay, it's the trade deadline. All of a sudden, I get this notification that Nikola Vucevic is headed to the Bulls, and I'm like, wait, like that Vucevic, like the all-star? I was like, him? I was like, oh man, this is great. And so the Bulls gave up Otto Porter Jr., Wendell Carter Jr., and two first round picks. Look, if you're getting a guy like Vucevic, I'm fine with that trade. I mean, I wasn't too high on Otto Porter, you know, coming in. I felt he was a little overpaid. And I was like, okay, well, hopefully, you know, we'll see. He might be a solid wing player, and it just didn't really mesh well. Wendell Carter, I like him, but, you know, just kind of like a small but traditional big center. So, I mean, and also he couldn't really stay healthy, so I understand that move as well. And, I mean, if you're going to get a guy like Vucevic, you're going to have to give up some first-round picks as well. But at the end of the day, it's all worth it. And the Bulls also got Al. Oh, my God. Okay. Forewarning, we're gonna mess up a ton of names.
We are so sorry.
We're so sorry. No, but just, man, we're gonna butcher these names. So the Bulls got Vucevic, of course, and Al Farouk Aminu as well a part of that deal. So, I mean, just that duo of Vucevic and LaVine is going to be fantastic.
And I do wonder if this is also the Bulls thinking about the future, you know, because they got Vucevic and they have him signed, because in the offseason, the Bulls are going to lose Lauren Markkanen. I butcher his name. There you go. But they're marketing. Going to market him, but they're going to lose him in free agency. So, and this also signifies that the Bulls, they want to make a playoff push. I think they're in the playing game right now, but with this addition, they can climb the seedings.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Because I know these next, I think, six games, five of them are on the road against 500 plus teams. So if they want to make a push, for sure, like, this is going to be the guy that's going to help you. And looking towards the future, I think this is the year where the Bulls said, okay, are we going to buy into LaVine, or are we going to kind of, you know, make a trade for him and start, you know, sort of fresh again? But it looks like they're doubling down on building this team around Zach LaVine, and Vucevic is definitely the startings or beginnings of that.
Now, moving up a little north, the Philadelphia 76ers once again failed to pull that trigger on the trade that everybody thought they were going to make, you know, when they failed to trade for Kyle Lowry this offseason. You know, Kyle Lowry is actually staying put in Toronto, and we'll touch upon that a little later. But the Philadelphia 76ers, they had a backup plan, and that backup plan was George Hill, which I got to admit, I like the addition. He's no Kyle Lowry, mind you, but he's still a solid addition, and it fills the position that they needed some help in, which is point guard. But, you know, I do have to say, does this mean that Daryl Morey, who I am a fan of, he's 0-2 as GM for the Philadelphia 76ers as far as blockbuster trades, you know, because they didn't put the final trigger on James Harden and they didn't put the final trigger on Kyle Lowry?
Yeah, I mean, it sucks that you miss out on those guys, especially, you know, a James Harden. But I think in the case of missing it out on Kyle Lowry, like, George Hill is a nice compensatory guy, per se. Like, it's not the worst, you know, draft by any means. So I think he's definitely a nice pickup for them. You know, I sort of like the backup point guard type of deal to, you know, complement Ben Simmons out there in Philly. And also, too, I know a part of that trade, Austin Rivers, who actually we did kind of mention, would probably be on the move, and he did. He ended up going to OKC, so he was a part of that three-team deal. But, I mean, I like the pickup for Philly. I think George Hill is a very solid player. I mean, he's no Kyle Lowry, but, you know, you're getting a reliable guy out of him.
With plenty of playoff experience, so definitely a great pickup. You know who else has a lot of playoff experience and is just a baller? Lou Williams, who is going to the Atlanta Hawks. Now, I gotta admit, I love this deal for the Atlanta Hawks. Lou Williams, Lou Will as he's called, he has the most points in NBA history off the bench. He is exactly, when you think of six man, it's Lou Williams. And he's going to help this young Hawk team keep climbing the seating in the Eastern Conference, because ever since Nate McMillan became coach, they have been playing really well, Alex.
Yeah, I mean, I know there is a little controversy revolving around, you know, that coaching change, excuse me, but Nate McMillan, man, he's turning that team around. And I think a guy like Lou Williams to you know, back up Trae Young, especially for that second unit, I think coming off for Atlanta, I mean, that's, I love it. And then also too, for the Clippers, they get a guy like Rajon Rondo, who just, you know, came off a championship run with the Lakers, and we saw what he did in those playoffs. We all know the mantra, the alter ego of playoff Rondo. So, you know, for the Clippers to make a deep push, which I would assume they have to make, you know, in this year's playoffs, you know, that's the guy that's going to help them out. But definitely great pickup for the Atlanta Hawks. And I believe also too, was it, there was two future second round picks involved with that trade as well.
Yeah, going which way? To the Hawks, right?
Yes. So the Hawks get Lou Williams in those second round picks.
And going up even further from Atlanta is Boston Celtics. And the Boston Celtics made a move. You know, their Boston Celtics name is just thrown with everybody. Every star, their name is just thrown. I feel like Danny Ainge is just, you know, like, you know, releasing this information, like, oh, we're interested in this player, we're talking about this player. Like, they just love to hear their name being mentioned, because their name was being mentioned with so many players. But did they make a deal? They traded for Evan Fournier, another Magic player that leaves sunny Orlando and heads, this one heading to Boston. What do you make of Evan Fournier to Celtics?
I think it's fine.
Yeah. Just that exactly what it is. Just find some help, right? But
right. Just, you know, Evan Fournier isn't a guy that jumps out at you. I mean, he is an all right guard coming out of Orlando. And I believe also two, I think the Celtics sent 2 second round picks.
Right.
To Orlando and a part of that trade. And also Fournier is in the final season of a 5-year deal that he had got with Orlando. It was worth $85 million. So, you know, whether or not Boston wants to sign him long term or, you know, for the time being, you know, that's up to them. But, you know, it isn't a bad trade, but it doesn't, you know, excite you either.
Right. But, you know, it gives him an additional shooting punch. That's one thing that Fournier can do. He can shoot. That's one thing that Boston was sort of lacking, a little extra shooting. And yeah, you know, he's a guard. He can play small ball forward. So it's definitely going to help them. And the last topic we have in the Eastern Conference is Kyle Lowry staying put in Toronto. We touched upon it briefly with George Hill going to the Philadelphia 76ers. But I think that was the one twist for me of the trade deadline, Kyle Lowry not being traded anywhere, because his name was definitely, everybody said he already had almost 2 feet out the door, whether it was with Philly. You know, he is a Philly kid, so everybody thought that was going to be a good way for him to kind of finish his career, even though he has said that he wants to sign a one-day contract with Toronto and retire as a Toronto Raptor. So that's very admirable. But he may get the chance because he's staying put in Toronto or Tampa Bay as a fact, because that's their home base for now. But yes, Kyle Lowry staying put in Toronto, Alex.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely is a little bit of a surprise. I mean, all the rumors and speculation surrounding him was he was leaving, and it didn't happen. I think at the end of the day, the Raptors wanted, or we're looking for, a bit more in a package revolving around Lowry. But I mean, they're definitely fine with keeping him the rest of the season. I want to say he is a free agent this upcoming summer. So, you know, I think it's good for him that he's able to make that decision come free agency to go to a team that he wants to find a deal that, you know, best suits him. So, you know, at the end of the day, it's, I guess, this no trade works in his favor. You know, he gets to stay with Toronto one last year, kind of like sort of a last hurrah.
And pick and choose. Pick and choose in the offseason where he can be more valuable. And because, look, he's going to be a hot commodity. I know he's 35 years old. I think yesterday was his birthday, actually. Well, we're recording this on Thursday, so today is his birthday. But yesterday, for you people listening, was his birthday. And so he's 35, but he's still he's still a solid player, you know, even for that age. You know, he's never one that's relied extremely on his athletic skills. You know, he has a great basketball IQ. So he's definitely going to be a hot commodity in the offseason. So those are most of the major deals in the Eastern Conference. We have a couple more minutes to talk about the Eastern Conference before we jump to other players that move to the Western Conference and the deals that happen in the Western Conference. Before we do that, Alex, I want your thoughts. What team of the ones that we talked about, of the players that were traded to these teams, you think will have the biggest impact down the playoff race? Because the Eastern Conference, man, it's you know, after the top three teams, the next eight teams are either tied or within a game loss of each other.
Right. So I think the big ones are Vucevic and Oladipo. I will put it in this perspective, I see Vucevic as being big for the Bulls to make that playoff push to get, you know, outside of that play-in bubble and, you know, more solidified as a seed in the playoffs. And then when you look at the Oladipo move, I think it really puts Miami in a good spot. So once again, make another deep playoff push, you know, going up against Philly and Milwaukee. You have that trio now of Adebayo, Butler, and now Oladipo. I'm interested to see what that little big three there is going to do in the Eastern Conference. So I guess Oladipo, because I think it just helps Miami even more so to make, I would say, a championship push.
Yeah, I think in the long run, I think you're correct. I think Oladipo is going to help them further, because look, I know the Bulls got better in this offseason, but I don't see them making a push to the final. I do see them moving up the seed. Now you can see them making a run at the 6th seed, maybe 7th seed. And, you know, locking a playoff spot, not having to worry about the playing game. But yes, Oladipo to Miami Heat, that's finals potential. That's Eastern Conference finals potential with those big three. Oladipo, I mean, we got to say, you know, now he has more incentive. Not that he didn't have incentive to play hard with Houston, but now he has even more incentive in Miami because he knows that they have final NBA finals aspirations. And on top of that, this is where he's always wanted to be. Well, according to the multiple reports that have been out there saying that. So I think that's definitely the choice. It's Oladipo to the Heat. So I'm definitely looking forward to the Eastern Conference playoff. There's going to be some good teams. I think you can put Miami as now one of the top fours. You know, it's, you know, Philadelphia, the Bucks, the Nets, and now the Heat.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about the Nets.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
I don't know why I forgot about the Nets, but yeah, they got some guy named Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving and James Harden.
And some
guy
with the beard, yeah.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is Oladipo definitely puts Miami in that mix with those teams for
exactly,
sure. He makes
yes.
that immediate impact, whereas Vucevic, I mean, it definitely makes an immediate impact, but I think it lays the groundwork for a better future moving forward with the Bulls.
Yeah, agree. And now from the Eastern Conference, we're going to move to the Western Conference and talk about the moves made in the Western Conference. There were some big, powerful moves made in the Western Conference. I'd argue that the Eastern Conference got more talent and more impactful players. But the Western Conference, to me, the big one was Aaron Gordon to the Denver Nuggets, which that was one that I did not see coming. That was another one of those trades where at least I hadn't seen the Aaron Gordon linked to a possible Denver move, which... Alex, I know you'll go over the details, but I think this was a great pickup for Denver. He gives them an additional offensive punch to help them compete in the West, which is very tough. And he's a big, agile body to throw at the likes of LeBron, Kawhi, Paul George, and you know, players of that nature in the Western Conference. I think this is a great pickup for the Denver Nuggets, Alex.
For Denver, absolutely. You're getting a solid, 6'9". Forward, can play the four position as well. And the details revolving around that deal is Gary Harris and RJ Hampton, along with a protected 2025 first round pick, go to the Orlando Magic. So, right away, great pickup for the Nuggets. They got a stud in Aaron Gordon, but I think when you look at the Orlando side of this deal, it shows that, you know, Orlando is in sort of a rebuild phase. They get a nice little, you know, first round pick in the next couple of years, and I think Gary Harris and RJ Hampton are very solid players. I thought they were great role guys in Denver, and not to mention too, Orlando's gonna hope Markelle Fultz can get well pretty soon. And hey, you got like a young squad there in Orlando, but 100%, man, Aaron Gordon is definitely, I think, could be a nice little glue guy for the Nuggets, where, you know, he has like a little scoring talent there, but also can, you know, match up with some of these bigger and talented dudes in the West.
Definitely. Another Western Conference team that got that made a powerful trade was the Portland Trailblazers. They swung for the fence and traded for Norman Powell of the Toronto Raptors, who Powell is having a tremendous season this year, really a standout. And it has to also be said, he's also a free agent at the end of the season, so he's definitely playing for a contract. But, you know, sometimes when you swing for players that are set to become free agents, they tend to be rentals sometimes, but they tend to also help that team. And that's what the Portland Trailblazers are hoping for. You know, they saw that I'm not sure if they saw, but, you know, Denver Nuggets just made a deal for Aaron Gordon, which, you know, we just talked about. So Portland definitely wants to stay aligned and in step with how other Western Conference teams that are powerful. So Norman Powell gives him a great addition. And just to add to that, reports came out that tonight, Portland center Jusuf Kurić will be back too. So it's like if, you know, Portland got two players back in one.
Oh yeah, for sure. I think it's a nice pickup for them. Like, I think it just makes sense for them. Norman Powell's, like you said, he's having a nice year. I think, you know, 20 points. He's actually shooting the ball pretty well.
Really well.
This season as well. So I think, you know, with McCollum coming back from injury, as well, like, you know, Norman Powell can sort of be that placeholder until McCollum becomes 100%. And now you have like a nice little trio there with Lillard, McCollum, and Powell as well. So I think it, as a whole, it works definitely in favor for Powell, because Like you said, he plays for the contract. He can make an impact for the Trailblazers, and it could be the case where he makes a big enough impact where Portland wants to invest in him and keep him long term. But at the same time, too, if not, then, you know, if Norman Powell plays well, other teams might look for his services as well. So, I mean, all in all, I think it just makes a lot of sense for the Trailblazers and Powell as a whole.
Definitely. And from there, we go on to the Clippers, to the Los Angeles Clippers. Alex, you touched upon this, but they traded for Rajon Rondo. They sent Lou Williams to the Atlanta Hawks. The Clippers have been looking for a point guard for the entire season. Their starting point guard is Patrick Beverley, but he's not your traditional point guard per se. He's a great defender, on-ball defender, but they really needed somebody to set up the offense. And more so somebody in the regular season, they need somebody to do this in the playoffs, which is where they struggled in the bubble last year against Denver Nuggets, you know, when they relied too much on ISOs and weren't running plays. And I think that's what Rondo's going to help them out tremendously, is playoff Rondo when they're in the playoffs. And you touched upon it, Alex, you know, playoff Rondo, there's some magic in those fingertips when he, you know, lays them passes, his, you know, shooting touch all of a sudden returns, you know, and we saw that last year with the LA Lakers. So I think, first of all, it's funny that now he'll be competing with the Clippers and going up against the Lakers. But I think this is a great addition. I think it's a smart addition also by the Clippers.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, just it's no joke. Like, playoff Rondo is this magical enigma, you know, when it comes to the NBA playoffs. So when you look at the Clippers, who, you know, were very disappointed in the bubble with that second round exit to the Nuggets when they blew that 3-1 lead. You know, this is a guy that's going to help you make that late playoff push. And when you mention, you know, Patrick Beverley, not necessarily that floor general that, you know, gets the offense going, like, Rajon Rondo is the guy to do that. So, yes, what you get out of Patrick Beverley is this, you know, gritty on-ball defender. You know, you're going to get a guy like Rondo to help facilitate the offense, to get, you know, a Kawhi Leonard, to get a Paul George, you know, going as well. So it on both sides of that deal, with what Atlanta's getting from Lou Williams and what, you know, the Clippers are going to get out of Rondo, I mean, it makes a ton of sense. I like it.
Yeah, it's a situation where, you know, I feel both teams won that trade. Now, you can make an argument that the Clippers lost the offensive punch of Lou Williams, but I think they have enough offensive talent on that roster to kind of, you know, make do without Lou Will. I'm sure they would have liked to have kept him, but you don't make a trade like the, you know, for Rondo, for playoff Rondo, right? Because that's when they're really gonna need him.
Yeah,
you need something. So that's Lou Will.
It hurts to lose a guy like Lou Will, but if you're getting a guy like Rondo in return, I mean, it softens that blow tremendously.
Right, and from that we go to a trade that kind of went a little bit under the radar, which is JJ Redick from the Pelicans to the Dallas Mavericks. And I think this is a great addition by the Mavs. You just give another shooter that's going to help space the floor out for Luka, because you do not want to leave JJ open. Even when he's struggling, you're like, this one could go in. Like, he has that kind of, you know, fear in the defender. You're like, I just cannot leave JJ open. So I think this is a great pickup for the Mavs. And I think it's a move more so to help Luka spread the floor out and just give him more room to operate.
I agree. I like the trade for the Mavs, but I also find it a little confusing because the Mavs did trade Seth Curry not too long ago, and that kind of like was their shooter.
That's and it's funny you bring that up, because I think that's them realizing we shouldn't have traded away Seth Curry.
Yeah,
because Seth Curry is helping the Philadelphia 76ers a ton.
Yeah, man. So I mean, look, JJ Redick is an incredible shooter, one of the best in the league in recent times. So great pickup for them, but I just found it a little confusing that, okay, like, now you realize it now. So
right.
I mean, bro, like, Seth Curry, it wasn't like Seth Curry wasn't shooting lights out in Dallas. I mean, dude was putting up shots and making them. So, but regardless, I mean, you're getting JJ Redick, man. You know exactly what you're going to get out of him.
Which is a better shooter than Seth Curry. So maybe that you were just waiting for this moment.
I guess. And just to fill out the rest of the deal. So Dallas sent James Johnson, Wes Iwundo, Iwundo. Oh my God, I'm so sorry. And a second round pick. They sent all of that to New Orleans and Dallas. The Dallas Mavericks, of course, got JJ Redick along with Nicolo Melli. So that was the full deal revolving around JJ Redick. So regardless, it's a nice pickup for the Mavs. JJ Redick, you know, he is a consistent shooter. It doesn't matter if he's in a slump. You know, the dude can shoot lights out any given night. So great pickup for the Mavs. But yeah, they should have kept Seth Curry.
Definitely. And, you know, while we're talking about the Pelicans, one player that from the Pelicans that was mentioned a lot but didn't move was Lonzo Ball. He was mentioned with the Clippers, with the Knicks, with the Bulls. I know. And then at the end, the Orleans decided not to trade him. And to be honest, I like this. I think Lonzo stepped up this season. I think he is having a career year. Granted, it's just his third year in the league, but still, it's a career year for him in shooting percentage. You know, he's fixed that little Hinchin-ish shot. And I think it's good that the Pelicans kept Lonzo Ball because you need somebody of that caliber to play with Zion, somebody who can just, you know, throw it and throw good passes at Zion, because, you know, there's an art to throwing a lob pass. You know, not everybody can do it. Having watched Victor Oladipo, I can tell you he cannot throw lob passes. He was always trying to do bounce passes. So it's just not anybody can just throw lob passes. You have to have that touch. And as we've seen from his brother LaMelo, these ball brothers know how to zing and zang that ball. So I definitely like that they kept Lonzo Ball.
Yeah, it's a smart move. I love that zing and zing. That was funny. I had to touch on that because that was just hilarious. But no, it definitely doesn't hurt the Pelicans at all to keep a guy like Lonzo. Like you said, he's definitely got an eye like his brother. Maybe not as refined, maybe not as elite as LaMelo, but Lonzo has a keen eye to, you know, distribute the ball on the offensive end. Also, like you said, his shot has gotten better this year. He's a solid defender as well. So I think it's smart for the Pelicans to really, you know, sit on Lonzo and decide, okay, is this a guy that we want to, you know, keep for the foreseeable future? Or do you, you know, you ride out with him the rest of the season and say, okay, in the offseason, you know, this is a guy that we want to make a move for. So you know, it gives the Pelicans time to really consider what they want to do with Lonzo. Is this a guy that you want to roll with, or, you know, just move on for later on?
I mean, because the Pelicans are 19-24 at the moment. There are two losses from the playing game. They could easily sneak into the playing game and make some noise. I don't think they'll advance, but they can make some noise as a form of pushing a team to a 6-game, 7-game series. You know, they have that kind of talent in the playoffs. As we know, anything can happen in the playoffs. I think it's a smart move for them. And our last topic in the on the Western Conference on this and special NBA trade deadline special is, you know, last episode we talked about the basketball fiends curse and whether we're cursing people or you know, cursing the, you know, weather to come down on Houston, as that was also a case recently. But one of our topics earlier this season was when Derrick Rose got traded to the Knicks. And we said when that happened, Austin Rivers is going to be the odd man now in the Knicks. So teams are going to start calling for Austin Rivers, trying to see what, you know, what they could get for Austin Rivers, because he's a solid player to have on your team, come off the bench, you know, backup point guard. So it took time, Alex, but Austin Rivers was traded. This NBA trade deadline, he was traded to OKC. So, you know, sometimes we're right. Sometimes we can just predict how certain things are going to play out.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice in this business when you can sort of foresee something coming in the future. So, I mean, makes us feel smart. I don't know if it's a curse or not, but
now, granted, the writing was on the wall, so it's not like, you know, we picked something out of the blue. It was like
right, you could kind of see it coming, and it ended up happening. So once again, it isn't like it's a bad pickup for OKC. You know, Austin Rivers is a fine, like you said, backup point guard for them. So, I mean.
Now, here's,
you can only say so much with it, I guess.
Yeah, of course. Because here's the thing. I don't think the Thunder make a run to the playoffs or even sneak into the playing game. But who knows? They're right there, 19-25, 3 games behind 10th place Golden State at the moment. So who knows? But I think I wouldn't be surprised if this is just a rental for OKC and Austin Rivers finds a new home in the offseason. But that's the last topic on our NBA trade deadline special. We hope you enjoy it. We will have these one a year, right? Because it's only one NBA trade deadline.
Yeah. So be on the lookout next year, this time around.
But another episode we'll have that'll be fun is we'll do a when's the free agency season kicks off, because that's always fun in the first couple of that first day.
yeah, free agency, that's another one. So we got two,
there you go, two a year. All right, people, thank you for listening to this NBA trade deadline special episode. For the basketball fiends, don't forget to subscribe. See ya.
Deuces.